You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, and welcome to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, January the 17th, not quite July yet. We're happy to be here with you tonight, as always, folks. And as I wrote on the website today, in a world full of uncertainties, isn't it nice to have a constant on which you can depend? And that's something that we're very proud to be able to provide you with every week. Without fail and regardless of circumstances, we stand on the front lines in defense of our faith, our people, and our cultural heritage. And we're happy that you've joined us for what we hope will be another uplifting and entertaining live broadcast of our award-winning program. And as I made mention in a letter I sent out to our supporters back in December, a lot of things are percolating behind the scenes right now and have been for weeks as we seek wider distribution with the Liberty News Radio Network and our partnership with Sam Bushman and the affiliate stations that carry us. We're looking for more affiliate stations, wider distribution, bigger audience, as we continue to move forward, as we continue to progress. You know, we never want to be a program that's jumped the shark, as they say in the industry, and I don't think we're anywhere near there yet. And, of course, we're happy. You know, Keith Alexander mentioned last week, as we mentioned quite often, that we are the only program that tackles issues or that takes upon ourselves to make as our signature issues racial realities in the thorny question of Jewish power and influence. And I got an email back from a well-meaning guy who said, hey, you know, I heard y'all say this, but there's other radio shows that do this. And he was well-intentioned and sincere. And he mentioned a show. I'm not quite sure of the name, but he's right. There are internet radio programs that are out there. Some, they come and go from time to time. And listen, we're not in a competition with anybody. May our movement sprout a thousand blooms. And may they all be prosperous. May they all be beautiful. May they all be productive. We work not in competition with anyone, but in cooperation with everyone who's out there trying to do good work. But what sets the political cesspool apart, of course, is that we are anchored on the mainstream AM FM radio dials out there in select markets across the country. It is because of that. Now, certainly, we get a wide audience as a result of our internet listenership. You know, it goes hand in glove. You know, it's complementary to what we do on the terrestrial stations. But it's because of the legitimacy that AM radio gets us, that we've gotten all those headlines. You know, we've talked about it. They've been covered by over 250 of the most prominent newspaper and magazine publications around the world. Our work featured very regularly on national television. And, of course, we bridge the gap between respectable conservatism and our more muscular brand of politics, and we will continue to do so, folks, because, of course, everything that we've done, all the news, all the headlines we've generated for our heartfelt cause, all the accolades, it's all been accomplished as a result of those who support this radio program financially and prayerfully, and it is our honor to serve a cause so much greater than ourselves. And to be here with you every Saturday night is not an obligation, not a chore, but a privilege, and one that I'll be able to do, even though it does take a lot of commitment. Now, that being said, talking about our more muscular brand of politics, Martin Luther King Day is upon us again. It will be at least on Monday. No other radio show in the country is going to touch this. You know, not even the so-called conservative ones. Well, they'll touch King, of course. They'll fawn all over him like Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity do and Sarah Palin. You know, they're trying to market Martin Luther King as some sort of an all-American conservative, which is just laughable. But not quite as laughable as this new film that has come out. This new film about Martin Luther King called Selma. And, you know, they talk about race not existing, and so many of our heroes have been recast as black men in plays. There was a play about Julius Caesar and Julius Caesar, black man. I wanted to see Bruce Willis in the movie, but that didn't happen. Oliver Stone was set to direct this movie. Oliver Stone, the very famous, very accomplished Hollywood director. But he would only do it if they let him do it historically. and he wanted to portray King as he was, blemishes and all. And of course,
that was a no-no.
He got fired for that. He got kicked off the project, and he later complained a little over a year ago, saying that they've sanitized the memory of King and they've suffocated the truth about who he was and what he stood for. I don't know exactly what Oliver Stone or how he was going to portray him, but it couldn't have been any further from the truth than what we're seeing in Selma. So let's start with this, as we're going to examine the myth of Martin Luther King this first hour and this new movie, Selma, which will bomb. It will inevitably be a huge loss for Hollywood. Nobody wants to go see this garbage, but it will win at least one Oscar. That's my prediction. It will fail miserably at the box office. It will cost tens of millions of dollars more to produce and than it will take in box office receipts, but it will win an Oscar. Now, we will post on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, on Monday, Martin Luther King Day, an article about Selma, the movie, and the city, and also a trailer to this film, which is being presented as a biopic. It's being presented as historical fact. And I watched a two-minute trailer, which we will include for you on the website, on Monday. And here's what I saw, Keith Alexander, who's here with me this first hour, as we, again, examine the myth of Martin Luther King. I saw in this two-minute trailer, number one, the guy playing King talking to the guy playing President Johnson, saying that since the Rosa Parks bus stunt, he didn't call it a stunt, but we will, that white Southerners had murdered thousands of blacks. Thousands of white-on-black murders in the South. So this movie claims, which is being presented as a work of historical fact and not fiction, thousands since the mid-50s to the early 60s, thousands of white-on-black murders. There weren't even thousands of lynchings in the history of America from day one through now, and that includes the South. All right, and number two, it shows as the peaceful protesters, quote-unquote, are marching over the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, the police officers and the Alabama State troopers wrapping their billy clubs in barbed wire. Now, Keith, I have heard, seen, and read a lot of lies about Southerners, particularly the Southern sheriffs and policemen of that era, but this is a new one for me, that they wrapped their billy clubs in broad daylight and barbed wire and went and started hacking at these peaceful protesters. I know I talked to you about that on the phone yesterday, and you were incensed.
Well, there's truth to this in one sense, okay? Hollywood has wrapped their billy clubs in barbed wire to beat the South, and Southern white Gentiles in particular. Also, I found it rather ironic that the actor playing Lyndon Johnson, a Southern white Gentile in this movie, was, of course, a son of Israel.
No, it wasn't him. It was the man playing George Wallace. Was Tim
George
Roth.
Wallace. George Wallace is a Jew in this movie, apparently.
Well, Tim Roth is a Jew, but Tim Roth is a fine actor, but I'm just saying, here we go again. But, you know, Tim Roth's work.
Let me just say this about modern movies. I have had the opportunity to view several modern movies lately. One was called Wild with Reese Witherspoon. Another one was called St. Vincent with Bill Murray. And then I saw the latest Steven Spielberg movie. And I will tell you more about that after these words from our sponsor.
We're just getting started tonight. We're going to talk about Selma, Keith's trip to the matinee, and more on King as this first hour continues.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. We are aware, and we got some emails to this effect, that there was a little bit of breakup in our audio output in that first segment. Our engineers are aware of it. They're working on it. Hopefully it's corrected by now. We will just, it's live radio. You got to roll with the punches. But we're talking about, we are here to deconstruct the myth of Martin Luther King and the fairy tale movie Selma that's being presented as an Oscar-worthy film based upon historical fact. Now, we're going to compare Selma 1965 to Selma 2015. Just the facts, ma'am, in just a second. But before we do that, Keith, you were talking about going to the movies recently, and then I want to ask you to compare the real king versus the way he is presented as now the patron saint of political correctness, which is the state religion of the United States of America. He is their god. He's infallible. You know, you can make fun of anyone. You can mock anyone. You can ridicule anyone. But you cannot question the sanctity and the sainthood of Martin Luther King. Now, that should be something that at least is up for discussion in a free country.
Well, you can only do it at the risk of being cast into the outer darkness for all time. That's what happens to people that criticize Martin Luther King or even dare to speak the truth, even if they support him and the principles that he stood for. Okay? That's Oliver Stone may be a test case on this, but let me say that I have had the opportunity to watch a lot of movies. Well, not a lot of movies. I've seen movies. St. Vincent with Bill Murray, Wild starring Reese Witherspoon, and something called Into the Woods, which is a Stephen Sondheim kind of smorgasbord patchwork putting a bunch of different fairy tales together. And I can tell you after watching those, I can't tell the parents out there strongly enough, you need to boycott all modern movies. Now, that's a hard thing for people to grasp. James loves modern movies. It's like dragging him kicking and screaming to watch an old movie. But the modern movies have such left-wing poison, liberalism, laced into them that it's impossible, really, to watch those without. If your children watch these movies, don't be surprised if they turn on you and basically become standard issue liberals, because that's the purpose of the movie
industry. Well, it's poison. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they have taken control of Hollywood, and they use this to poison our minds and to turn not whites just against themselves with this culture of white guilt and self-hatred, but certainly blacks versus whites and vice versa. You did not have this level of racial tension and resentment in the 60s, which was supposed to be such bad days. Well, I'll tell you, the halcyon days of America, even after we lost our second war for independence in 1865, were the 1950s. I think that was when American culture kind of reached its zenith, and in many ways.
Well, let me say this. I think that the real zenith was between 46 and 54, and I think that the death knell of the old society was May 17th, 1954, and the handing down of the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education decision. Everything's been on the downslope since then. Now, about Selma. Okay?
Well, tell us about King. Tell us, first of all, I think we know how he's presented as this infallible saint. What was the real man like? Now, don't go overboard. Let's try to give it as dispassionately as we can. Certainly, we have an opinion here based on fact, which is certainly something this movie's not based on. But you lived through the 50s and 60s. Keith, so did Eddie, who's just walked into the studio. What was King really like? And what was he known as
He was basically, first of all, a front man. He didn't have the intellectual candle power to light a room, okay? He plagiarized his doctoral dissertation at Boston University. That had been substantiated beyond a shadow of a doubt. Even the officials, the hierarchy of Boston University, admit to this. He basically plagiarized the work of another theologian and passed it off as his own. And they said it was very obvious and palpable. Anything that he said that sounded in the least bit intelligent was plagiarized from someone else.
He was a plagiarist. I think that is an ironclad fact. What more, though? Let's just say, okay, we'll disregard that because he is the Christ of the new religion, but okay. What else?
Well, see, the plagiarist is important, though, because basically what it shows is he was merely a front man. He didn't write anything significant. He didn't think any significant thoughts or new thoughts. He didn't have any special insights. For example, not only was his dissertation plagiarized, so was his letter from the Birmingham jail, which is and so was his I've been to the mountaintop speech. Every bit of anything that has any type of intellectual merit to it at all is something that he plagiarized.
I'm not disregarding that. That is something that certainly should be noted, and it is reprehensible, but let's just say, for argument's sake, none of us have had an original idea. We all stand on the shoulders of others. He is presented as this great Christian and family man, Keith. Was that the way it was?
Not at all. He was an abuser of women, both physically. He was an abuser of women, both physically and sexually. In fact, in the night before he was assassinated, he had three prostitutes in his room at the Lorraine Motel, and he beat up two of them. Okay, so much for this liberal paragon of equality and kindness and good spirit and whatnot. Martin Luther King was none of those things. Also, he was a communist operative.
See,
he knew that he was
being
paid by the Communist Party.
We know that he was trained at the Highlander Folk School to be this communist operative in the South to foment racial hatred and upheaval. But now you have the Republican Party trying to claim him as one of their own, saying he was a conservative Republican. Was this his politics, Keith?
Not at all. He was a radical libertarian. Towards the end, his communist masters, and they paid him, so money talks and BS walks, so whatever they said, if they told him to jump, his only answer would be how high. Okay. What he did, what he wound up doing, was... He would, what Martin Luther King was really up to towards the end of his career, he was anti-war, he was anti-capitalist, he was not for wanting his children to be judged by the content of their character rather than the color of his skin. Again, that was a line fed to him by his masters. Actually, his thought was that we had to have economic equality impressed upon the population, white and black, from the top down, and until there was economic equality,
well,
there was no equality whatsoever
you,
between
you
the races.
You hit on something very important, Keith. Here's the thing. If he was this conservative, as Sarah Palin and Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity have recasted him to be. Wouldn't he have voted for Barry Goldwater? He came out in dire opposition to Barry Goldwater and said he wanted not a guaranteed minimum wage, but a guaranteed income for blacks, regardless of whether or not they work.
Absolutely. Well, what? Well, yeah.
Well, Eddie's saying he is now the typical modern-day Republican, and I agree with Eddie. I mean,
but
certainly.
See, here, this is where the so-called mainstream conservatives will continually miss the ball. They're never going to gain any traction because they give a pass to the civil rights movement. They want to insist upon portraying the civil rights movement as good, when instead it was just the first salvo in the culture war, the first skirmish. They picked what they considered to be their strongest suit first. And as you'll notice, whenever any part of the liberal agenda comes into tough sledding, encounters massive public skepticism like the campaign about global warming or the campaign for homosexual marriage, gay rights, all of this type of stuff, what do? They always run back to their safe harbor, which is the civil rights movement, and Hollywood churns out yet another movie about the civil rights movement so that everybody will know who the good guys were, the liberals, and who the bad guys were, the conservatives.
And here's the thing. You can take Oprah Winfrey, Brad Pitt's word. They're the ones who produced this movie, Selma. You can take the word of a guy like Lieutenant, oh my goodness, what was his name? Drew Lackey. Drew Lackey, who arrested Rosa Parks, who was the one who fingerprinted her. He's been a guest on this show. He gives you another view of the civil rights movement. We got to take a break.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party. .us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we're still working to navigate through these small technical difficulties, but I think we are running at about 80% strength anyway, and we'll take the political cesspool at 80% versus anyone else at 100%, save perhaps Sam Bushman and the Liberty Roundtable, of course. But, okay, so here we go. Martin Luther King, his file, his FBI file sealed for 50 years, at which point I'm sure the seal will just be extended or flushed down the commode or whatever is going to happen. We know he was a plagiarist, a degenerate, a moral reprobate.
A womanizer.
A womanizer.
An adulterer.
An adulterer, a communist. But he gets his own national holiday. He gets his own national holiday.
The only man, single man, with the exception of Jesus Christ, I guess you could say for Christmas, who has a holiday, a national holiday, in his honor.
All right, here's the thing. I want to talk about Selma very quickly. This is important because this is how he is being presented to us in 2015, is through this vehicle, Selma, this major Hollywood-produced motion picture. Oprah Winfrey is the financier behind it, and it has already been nominated for 2 Academy Awards, which it will win.
It'll win something.
It'll win something. But here's the thing. It's a work of fiction. Let's talk about Selma 1965 and Selma 2015, and I'm piggybacking on the work of Hunter Wallace, who has done the research on this. Here's Selma. Here's what Selma looks like in 2015, a poor, grimy city of blighted homes, abandoning and moldering businesses, weeds in the medians, trash and potholes in the streets, billboards about diseases like HIV and syphilis, a run-down downtown business district which looks like it was hit by a Soviet neutron bomb. Okay? Now, the celebrities and politicians go there every year. Mm-hmm. They go there every year. Now, this is all reality of liberal policies, I might add, like the Civil Rights Act. But all of these celebrities will go there every year for photo ops. But let's look. Here's an overview of the real Selma in 2015 based upon the facts. Okay? Here are the facts. In 2015, Selma is 80% black. It has a black mayor, a black chief of police, a black district attorney, a black superintendent for schools, a majority black city council, and a majority black police force. So you would say, by taking a glance at that, that everything King worked for in 65 has come to fruition. They've got control of it all. What have they done with it? Here we go.
Be careful. What you wish for, your dream may come true, is the moral to be drawn from all of this.
These are the facts, folks. In 2015, Selma City schools are 97% black, and they are so bad that the Alabama Department of Education's Board of Education had to vote unanimously to take control over them in the aftermath of scathing state investigations. The population of Selma has decreased by one-third since the Voting Rights Act was passed. 42% of the population of Selma lives below the poverty line, which is twice the state average of other cities in Alabama. Selma is the fourth most dangerous city in Alabama, with the third highest number of murders per capita and the fourth highest number of property crimes. It struggles with code enforcement on numerous blighted and abandoned homes are ubiquitous. Selma is the worst city in Alabama in which to do business, and it is now an epicenter of HIV infections. The HIV infection rate in the county in which Selma sits is 106.8% above the national average. So this is the Selma. This, they got what they wanted. It is plagued by extreme poverty, sexually transmitted disease, high crime, terrible schools, a terrible business climate, high unemployment, low property value, low civic engagement, and a racial strife. So this is Selma in 2015. Keith, my question to you is, were they better off, were whites and blacks both better off in 1965, or are the citizens of Selma in better shape now? Are the citizens of Port-au-Prince, Haiti in better shape now? Or were they in better shape before they murdered all the French government in colonial times? Is Detroit better? Is Camden, New Jersey better? Is Memphis better? Is Atlanta better? Are we better off now, white and black alike, in 2015, or were things better in 1965?
Well, obviously, they were better back then in the so-called good old days. But the very fact that you would pose that juxtaposition that you just did shows that you are a bigot and a conservative and a discriminator and a bad person, okay? That's what liberalism teaches us. Basically, it was the civil rights movement, and Selma was a part of this civil rights movement, that taught us that discrimination was a bad thing. When I was a child, discrimination was a good thing. People wanted to be a person of discriminating taste, for example. They liked the idea that people could tell the difference between high-quality goods and low-quality goods, between moral behavior and immoral behavior, between lawful behavior and unlawful behavior. The left bridles at all of this because in their sin nature, they want no consequences for any authority for any aberrant behavior. In fact, the old idea of aberrant behavior, a la the gay rights movement, is under attack. You notice that the left is in a constant guerrilla war with the police department because they don't like anybody enforcing laws against criminals. Criminal behavior is the same or just as good as lawful behavior. Black is the same or just as good as white. Homosexuality is the same or just as good as heterosexuality. Women are the same as or just as good as men. This is the mantra of the left. They want us to totally, for example, I was listening to a LBGT radio program on my way into the show tonight. And they had this so-called Christian ethicist who wanted to belittle the six passages in the Bible that condemn homosexual behavior. There's no passage in the Bible that is in the least bit ambiguous about this, but he says it's all just a matter of interpretation. And he said that basically the Bible was meant for self-criticism, but not criticism of any other people, group, behavior, whatever. What a remarkable thought. How erroneous can it be? The left is at war with authority of any type whatsoever except their authority to enforce upon us the dictates of political correctness. Now, what happened in the real Selma episode that's portrayed in this movie, which will probably be seen by a lot of black school children who are bused to this movie at public expense to see it. That's going to be the main audience for this movie, I guarantee. And there'll be white children that will be forced to endure, that are going to be forced to endure it as well. So, what happened in the real Selma was, there's a great article at Amren from several years ago, back around 2000, I think, about what really happened. Actually, the people of Selma were treated to the sight of interracial sex between Jewish freedom rider girls coming down and black males actually in their front yards that they had to cope with. They were, people were stealing, they were urinating in their yards, they were defecating in their yards, they were pitching tents and making love all night long. This is what the civil rights movement was really like. It was not a bunch of dewy-eyed, clean-scrubbed, folk-singing aficionados that were inspired by John F. Kennedy's New Frontier program. They were a bunch of revolutionaries, just like Michael Schwerner and Andrew Goodman of the Mississippi Burning movie fame. They actually came down here to foment a racial conflict, and they succeeded. And at the Ferguson episode that has just recently happened, there was all of this clamor about how the demonstrators were provoking the police by throwing feces and cups of urine and whatnot on them. This is old hat, folks. This is what went on at all of these demonstrations in the South during the civil rights movement. They learned these tactics at two places. One was a civil rights training center at Oberlin College in Ohio. The other one was at the Highlander Folk School, which is very near the University of the South at Suwanee in Monteagle, Tennessee. This is where they went. It was like a boot camp. It was like the Paris Island of the civil rights movement, and they taught them these tactics. Back then, we had no internet. We had no alternative news source. We had the three basic alphabet soup channels, ABC, CBS, NBC, and we had PBS, which, again, every one of them controlled by Jewish liberals. They would not report the buildup. They would only start rolling the cameras when they provoked a response from the police. And quite frankly, they were in the behavior was provocative in the extreme. Martin Luther King, on the other hand, was, as James said, no moral paragon. Let me just leave you with this thought. Moral paragons don't need to have their FBI files sealed for 50 years from public view, because J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI kept close tabs on him, and he was a reprobate of the first water.
We got to take a break, but I want to tell everyone listening online right now, join us at this very moment. Let your voice be heard. Sound off. CFCC.org. The Political Cesspool live chat is going on simultaneously with our live broadcast tonight. We've got a few people in there now. We want to have a few more. CFCC.org. Join up. Sign in. And we'll be talking to you there. Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, as we continue to talk about Martin Luther King. But, you know, everything about this guy was so, Eddie, can you shut the door so the other people in the studio don't hear, station don't hear us? Not that we don't want to interrupt anybody. Not that they don't know what we're saying. God knows. But everything about Martin Luther King was fraudulent. Even his name was made up. His real name was Michael King. But I want to say one thing before we go to Scoop Stanton, who's going to be talking more about Selma. This whole myth about Martin Luther King was a conservative Republican. I mean, that's what the Republican Party says. Sarah Palin, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, they love him. And they love to proclaim that Bull Connor was a Democrat, but Martin Luther King was a Republican. And it's just so many examples out there on the internet. Well, if there's one, and I mentioned this a second ago, and I'm going to post this on Monday as well, and we're quickly going to Scoop, but if there's been any presidential candidate on a major party ticket who really believed in authentic conservatism since World War II, surely it was Barry Goldwater. And he was the nominee of the Republicans, allegedly King's own party. So surely Martin Luther 64. King must have supported and voted for Barry Goldwater, right? Well, no. In fact, this conservative Republican, Martin Luther King, denounced Goldwater in the strongest possible terms in a speech he gave after he won the Nobel Prize. Now, it's pretty odd talk. He called him a fascist and a racist and an extremist. I mean, my God, that sounds familiar. Pretty odd talk coming from a conservative Republican, don't you think? He said that Goldwater sought to pit blacks against or whites against blacks and all of this other nonsense. But this is the thing. You know, conservatives, so-called conservatives like Hannity and Palin, they prefer fairy tales to reality. You know, Martin Luther King was a radical left-wing big government socialist. In 1967, he declared in a speech that he wanted everyone to have a guaranteed minimum income. You know, forget, you know, minimum wage, a minimum income guaranteed. Now, you can just see a guy like that who talked about blacks having their right to a fair share of the nation's resources, calling Obama a socialist. You know, but this is, you know, that's your conservative Martin Luther King, who stood for freedom and liberty and opposed big government. He'd be rallying against Obamacare with Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin. That's what they think. There's a whole lot more where this stuff comes from. How they can say and write this stuff with a straight face is beyond me. How do they look themselves in the mirror is beyond me. But anyway, we're going to have a lot of coverage about this and more at thepoliticalcesspool.org on the website tomorrow. All right, I've said my piece. Let's go to Scoop. Scoop, did you go see Selma today?
No, I didn't, and I didn't get to see any other movies. Since Mrs. Stanton's been pregnant, I've been trying to be the man and the woman of the house.
Well, God bless you, brother. I know what that's like.
Right. But anyways, the big brouhaha is, in terms of Hollywood, is the Academy Award nominations. Now, every nomination for Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, and Best Supporting Actress happens to go to all white people. And those in the African-American community is very appalled. In fact, Al Sharpton is calling for an emergency meeting in Hollywood, but I didn't know he was the head of a movie studio or a Screen Actors Guild or had any other profession in the media other than being a rabble-rouser. But anyways, if you remember about 10 years ago, Mel Gibson released Passion of the Christ. Now, that's probably one of the most moving movies of all time. That movie
great movie,
snubbed except for best costume. And meanwhile, the piece of garbage known as Brokeback Mountain came out, and that was praised as the second coming of Gone with the Wind. And nobody
and let me tell you something
about that.
Well, you are exactly right, Scoop. And let me tell you one more thing, and I'm not interrupting here because I know you got a lot to say, but I saw that article, the NAACP and some of these other black groups were complaining that Selma only received two Oscar nominations, and they said that Hollywood is dominated by white people.
Oh, boy, that's a great
quickly,
one.
Quickly, Keith, two
yeah,
seconds.
Quickly what it is, 80% of the white people are Jews. And, of course, Jews don't want to be distinguished from white people generally, but when you consider white Gentiles versus Jews, basically white Gentiles are the least represented people in Hollywood, both on either side of the camera, when it comes to their percentage of the entire population.
And this
of the
is what they were complaining about, that the people who vote for the Academy Awards, the people who cast their votes for what picture, what actor, et cetera, should be nominated for these Oscars, are all white. Anyway, Scoop, back to you.
80% of those whites are Jewish.
That's right.
They're,
well,
they're flying under false colors.
Hard to consider them white at all. They don't consider themselves white. Scoop, to you, buddy.
Okay, back to Hollywood. Well, you were mentioning the movie Selma. Well, anyways, I did a little research. That movie is very historically inaccurate. But how convenient that movie's being released around Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. And of course, right. Oprah is raising a big stink about it, that it's not receiving any praise or any nominations, but it's produced by her production company, Harpo Productions.
Right, now, correct. Good point.
Another thing is that since there's no black male, female awards this year, I guess next year, Tyler Perry will have a whole bunch of awards for his buffoonish movies featuring a character played by him as a sassy black woman. Another thing is that how many times does Denzel Washington and Morgan Freeman need to be nominated for an Academy Award just to appease the black people, not to take anything from Washington or Freeman? But enough is enough. Now, if you look at this year's nominees, let me go down the list real quick because I got my tab in my hand. You got Steve Carell, who is famous from whatever the name of the TV show is, I forgot. You got Bradley Cooper, an American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch, who's been in a whole bunch of movies, Michael Keaton, who's been in some movies, Best Actress category, you got Meryl Streep, who's been nominated 100 times, only won a couple times, but I guess we got to make room for Tyler Perry and a bunch of nobodies in crap movies. So,
well, why don't they do this, Scoop? You know, they have the Miss Black America contest so they can assuage the fact that black women don't win the Miss America or Miss Universe contest. Why don't they just have the Black Academy Awards every year? They could do that, and of course, it would have to be totally funded by the non-black community.
And here's the thing. What's Oprah Winfrey complaining about? Getting nominated for 2 Oscars. I mean, how many movies? That's madness. That is sick.
Well, it would have received nothing had it not been a movie about a iconic black situation.
Right, if it was based on merit, it wouldn't receive anything. This is the affirmative action of the Oscars, the racist Oscar people giving it 2 Academy Award nominations. Anyway, this movie's dominating the discussion much more than King, but it's perfect because the movie is just as fake as he was. Anything else?
Exactly. And then speaking of King, I dropped my daughter off at preschool one day. I was running a little bit behind. And it's a predominantly white preschool for Southern Baptist Church, even though I'm a Roman Catholic. And she had a music class, and they're singing some song about Martin Luther King. And these 4-year-olds don't know who the guy is, and they're singing. Luckily, I was in church, not somewhere else, or words would have been spoken.
Well, you know, it's very telling that that was done at church because, as I say, he is the new savior of America.
Liberalism is the new religion of America.
That's right.
Political correctness is its manifestation.
And he is the king of kings of it, and infallible. I mean, all this talk about, you know, how evil these representatives were back in the day who voted against giving this reprobate, this degenerate, his own national holiday, for God's sake. I mean, say what you will, say he's a hero, say whatever, but a national holiday? You think that's a little over the top? But, I mean, you can't say anything about him that's short of lavish praise, lest you be branded with the scarlet letter, and that letter is R.
In fact, there's nothing that you can't distinguish between people at all.
All right, Scoop, final word to you this segment.
Okay, Martin Luther King more or less got a holiday named after him because he's a good presenter of spoken words. However, there's no holiday for all his fellow black members that are coming back from, that are drafted and coming back from Vietnam, missing arms, legs, eyes, teeth, and with serious cases of post-traumatic stress disorder. So Martin Luther King, who's done absolutely nothing for America other than be a rabble-rouser, you know, he gets a holiday, and you know, everybody else just lumped into 2 days, Veterans Day, Memorial Day. Back to you in the studio.
President's Day, right. I mean, you still have Columbus Day now, but the only reason they allow Columbus Day to still exist is so they have a reason to bash white people. Every time Columbus Day comes up, it's only to denigrate white accomplishment, white advancement, white exploration, etc.
Well, it's exactly what I was saying. They don't want you to distinguish between Martin Luther King and, let's say, Robert E. Lee or George Washington or even Abraham Lincoln or any other individual. Again, making those distinctions is wrong. What you're supposed to believe is a persona, the false persona, that the left-wing establishment, the elite establishment, presents. And any deviation from that shows that you are discriminating. And remember, discriminating was a good quality to have before the Civil Rights Movement. Ever since the Civil Rights Movement, the first salvo in the culture war that has denigrated America and the West, then discrimination has been a dirty word and an evil that needs to be eradicated.
Great work, everybody. We've covered the movie. We've covered the real Selma, 1965 versus 2015. We've covered the myth of King, which is nothing new. I mean, what we've presented this evening have been was something that was universally accepted when he was alive. Only through the passage of time have they been able to scrub the facts from the matter, because who's to challenge them anymore? Because
well,
you don't
even
have
that great conservative Ronald Reagan was complicit in sealing his FBI record for 50 years.
Well, another Republican, one Republican helping another, as Sarah Palin might believe. We got to take a break, folks. We're going to talk about the bombings in France when we come back.
But don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.